If you would, when you find your place here in Ezekiel 33, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I like that so much, Brother Red. Blow that one more time. Breaking in about the second verse. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for the watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. But go to verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood... Listen, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, that you'd speak through these stammering lips this morning. Lord, I'm unlearned, I'm uneducated, I'm not fit to stand in this place. But I'm glad for your Son's blood, Lord, that's made us worthy this morning to stand here. And blow the trumpets, Lord, and tell the people and warn them of that awful time that's coming and that time that we're in. Lord, I pray that you'll open the hearts of the people that's here this morning to receive your word. We ask this in Jesus' precious holy name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I did not speak to Brother Greg. We didn't talk about any scripture. I did not try to figure out what he was going to say. He don't know what I was going to say. I know that God is in the middle of this thing this morning. I praise his holy name. I thank him for what he's doing here at Vickers Chapel and what he's going to do in your life today if you'll listen to what thus saith the Word of God. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as our brother read to you, and I'm going to expound upon what he's read to you, but in verse 1, we're reminded of the Scriptures when he talks about a perilous time. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You haven't looked around here lately. We're in the last days. Can I get a witness? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Does that sound like anybody you know? I know I'm quick to judge. I don't know about you all, but I judge my neighbor. I judge people I see all the time. Boy, he's out of the will of God. She's out of the will of God. I shouldn't be looking at that. When I'm pointing that finger, there's three more pointing back at me. I need to look at me. I'm the one that's guilty. I'm the one that needs to get closer to God. I don't know about you. I'm talking about me this morning. I don't need to be a judge, but I'm glad the Word of God can judge. Listen what the Bible says. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. You know, that's talking about all ages. I ain't just talking about children in particular. I don't care if you're here 50 years old and your parents are still living. We need to obey our parents. Amen. Unthankful and unholy. Unthankful and unholy. That's the day that we're living in. Have you been thankful for what God's done for you lately? How many's living in a house? How many's living in a camper? How many's living in a tent? Brother David's the only one living in a camper. Whatever we're living in, God's been good. Amen. If we just had a tent over our head, God would be good. Amen. We ain't sleeping out in the cold. We ain't sleeping out in the sun and the heat, but God's taking care of us. Last time I checked, the temperature is just about right in here this morning. I ain't heard one complaint about the temperature yet in this building yet, but I'm telling you, it's fixing to warm up in here. Thank God He's been good to us, amen? He's blessed us. I've prayed and I've begged to the Lord all week. It's been one of them messages. I said, Lord, are there any other way? And He said, there ain't no other way. You're preaching it this week. I've studied. I've got every kind of outline and message of every message I could preach. I said, Lord, I'll preach that one this week if it'll be okay. He said, no, you're preaching that one this week. I said, Lord, just this time, would you let me out of this one? He said, no, you're preaching it this week. And I called pastors and other preachers I've got confidence in. I said, Lord, have mercy. You need to pray for me this week. He said, matter of fact, I was fixing to call you. You need to pray for me. I've got a tough one on my heart this morning. God's putting men together and their minds are like this morning. Why? Because of the times that we're living in. People are unthankful and unholy. They're without natural affections. They're without natural affections. We saw it yesterday. If you watched the news, you saw it. It's not good, church. Truth breakers, false accusers. He goes right on here and tells us and names every kind of sin. He mentions what's going on in people's life. Incontent. This means without control. Fierce and heady and head-minded and things of that nature. It means to be severely violent is what fierce means. Heady means to be an overbearing in your ways. Have you gotten the Word of God or have you gotten your own self and you've tried to figure something out? You've made up your own conclusion of what you're going to believe, what you're going to do and how you're going to live, and that's the way it's going to be. You don't care what anybody thinks and you sure don't care what God thinks. I'm telling you this morning, God knows everything that's going on in your life, what you think, if you study to show yourself approved or what you've done in your life, God knows about it this morning. He names it here. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he names them traitors and heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now here we are, the main important event I want to show you. Here at verse 5, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. You should underline that word, but denying the power thereof. Church, listen to me this morning. The Bible says you need to turn away from that mess. Amen. You need to turn away from it. What if it's my family? You need to turn away from it. What if it's a good friend of mine? You need to turn away from it. You need to seek the Lord in these last days. Put your whole heart and your whole confidence in Him and be the kind of person that God has called you to be. Stand on the Word of God. They told us that, I hope a whole lot of people don't go down and protest there on Saturday and show themselves and that things like that. I'll tell you what, we need to stand up for the Word of God and not be ashamed. He's called me to preach the gospel and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to stand against sin. I'm going to show what sin is, but I'm going to tell people that God loves them and that we love them and they're welcome here. We're going to show them the way instead of persecution. You'll never win anybody by persecuting them. I can point my finger at you all day long and tell you how wrong you are, but without the love of Christ pointing at you and telling you how you can get out of that mess, I'm just persecuting you is all I'm doing. How do you win a drunk? You don't have to tell him he's a drunk. He already knows he's a drunk. He already knows what a mess he's in. He needs to know there's a better way. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, that all should come under repentance. What do you do for a dope head? You don't reject them and you don't persecute them. You welcome them in and tell them that there's a better way, that Christ loves them and He can bring them out of that life of drugs. What do you do with people that are sexually perverted in this life? You need to tell them that Christ died for them and loves them. He wants to make a difference in their life. He died for the homosexuals, the lesbians, the drunks, the dope heads. He died for us all. Can I hear from you this morning? It's not His will that any should perish. Number one. The Bible says we need to come out We need to come out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you." Listen, church members, you don't need to have a form of godliness, but you need to be known as a child of God. You'll never win anybody going to where they go to commit sin. You'll never be able to show them the love of Christ being down at the bear joint, the dope house, the places of ill repute. You'll never win people by being their buddy in sin. He said to come out from among them and touch not that. Not be a part of that. Don't do that. There's scripture for it this morning. We're not to be a part of that kind of mess. But we're to come out from among that. It was all I could do to keep from going downtown yesterday. But you know why I didn't go downtown? I didn't want a new Center 5 up in my face trying to make me as a protester. You know what I did? I prayed. I prayed for every one of them. And as they showed the pictures of grandparents walking their grandchildren and things of that nature, and people of all ages being a part of that and protect, you know, lifting that up and things of that nature, it broke my heart as a man of God that grandparents would teach their grandchildren that this is an okay way to live. I'm telling you this morning, it's not okay before God. He said a man that would lay with a man, it was an abomination before God. It's an abomination. Y'all not preach those kind of things in the church house. If I don't tell them, the devil will. We need to tell them as people of God. We need to warn them as people of God. These are the days that we live. I don't hate them. Can I put on record this morning? Put it on my Facebook page. I do not hate them this morning. I love every single one of them. I wish this house was full of them that I could preach them the gospel. I tell them that Jesus loves them, amen. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That all of you guys could be born again and not go to hell. We're drawn away of our own lust and our pride of life, brethren. That's what separates us from God. Oh, they're going to hell because they're lesbians or they're homosexuals. No, they're not. They're going to hell because they've rejected the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why they're going to hell. And you'll be going to hell this morning if you die in your sins. If you're here in this church house and you've never been saved, you die in your sins. The Bible said hell will be your home. You're making it awful hard on us this morning, preacher. Listen, this is from God over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. He says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God on the children of disobedience." Amen. Because of this, the wrath of God comes. Why does people's lives get cut short? It's because of sin. It's once appointed unto man to die, and then after this, the judgment. But I'm telling you right now, you can hasten your days. The wicked ways of living and following after sin and following after Satan and feeling like everything's all right, it's going to cost you someday. Every time the Lord does something, the devil has a counterfeit with it. God give us a promise through Noah, and when He give us the rainbow, He never destroyed the world again with water. And now the devil has taken that symbol of the rainbow, of that promise of God, and they're using it for pride and saying it's love and it's all good and God loves us the way we are. The Lord does love you just the way you are. But He said to come out from among that and be born again. Can we go to heaven in our sin? Absolutely not. No sin will enter into this place. It's called heaven. That's what the Bible says. Church, I need you this morning. I tell you what, God give me this message, and it's for the church. It's for us. I said, Lord, please let this message start in me. Help me understand what it is you want. He told me in verse 7 there in Ephesians chapter 5, He says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Walk as children of the light. But you know, they're my good friend, and I don't want to put them down. I don't want to push them out. I didn't say to put them down or push them out. I said to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be a witness to them. You could be the only Bible they'll ever read in their life. You may be the only church they'll ever visit. They may never come into these four walls, but they've walked into your house. They've looked at your stuff, and they are listening to you. You need to be the witness before them that God has called you to be. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, he says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." You ever notice when people die, Brother Aaron, everybody's going to heaven. Every funeral I've ever went to, everybody's going to heaven. They went to church so-and-so, and they was a member of so-and-so. And then preachers get up behind the pulpits, and they preach what a wonderful person they are. They're on their way to heaven. I'd like to see one preacher one time get up and say, that person lived an ill repute life, died without God, and if they didn't get right before they died, they're in hell. You never hear that. You know why? Because preachers ain't hardly got the backbone to stand up and preach it sometimes the way it's supposed to be. Can I hear from you this morning? I know I've been in the same places. It's hard when family members die and people die. You want to try to help comfort the family. One of the things I always ask a family, how was their life before the Lord? Well, I think mommy was okay. I think daddy was okay. And I'll say, well, do you remember a time that they repented and gave their life to Christ? No, I can't really remember a time. And when that happens, friend, the answer and the question is answered for me. I know where they're at then. We want to try to be a help and a comfort to those that are grieving and those that are hurting. Just this week, as Brother Greg shared with you, a co-worker's son has passed away. His heart is broke. His family's broke. And we don't know what to do but to pray for them. But I'm going to tell you what, sin's going to cost you. You can say you're all right and you can live those ill-repute lives. You can drink your beer, smoke your pot, run around with your neighbor's wife and do everything and come in here and act like you're all right. But I promise you, God's got it wrote down. Right. He knows everything that you've done, every thought that you've had, every time you've run around. He's got it down this morning and knows all about it. Yeah. Well, I got saved a long time ago. I'm going to tell you something about that this morning. I'm as saved as I've ever been. I believe I've got the seal of God on me. I'm sealed for all eternity. Now, I'm glad the devil can't do nothing with it. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if you've truly been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll do what these scriptures says. You'll come out from among the world and you'll be separate. And when you're separate, you'll live a life that'll honor God. You won't live like a hellion and do all these things in the world. Yes, you will make mistakes. Yes, you will fall. But when you fall down, there'll be a Savior there that'll pick you up and I'll help you along the way. Can I hear from you this morning? He don't bless an unclean temple and He won't dwell in that unclean temple. But there's a chastisement rod of God and He'll pull that switch out, amen, and He'll get it off and strip all the stuff off of it and He'll wear you out if you're truly born again. I'm telling you this morning, you cannot live in sin without consequences. Quiet in here this morning. There is a consequence for living in sin. That's weak this morning. But I'm telling you, Christ loves you. And it's not His will that we live like that. He said we were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Now, did you know something, Christians? We all make mistakes. We all fall. Sometimes miserably. Sometimes I fall so hard I wouldn't even want Brother Matt to know it. Because I wouldn't want him to lose his confidence in me. Sometimes the Lord will whoop me real hard and I'll get things straightened up so I can be the light I need to be to Brother Matt. And then I'll take two more steps and I'll fall again. And I wouldn't want Brother James to see that because I fell so hard. But you know what? He saw me. He saw me fall. But you know what Brother James does? Because he's a children of the light. He said, I'm going to pray for him. I know he failed. I'm going to go help him up. And he'll come and pick me up. And he'll shake my hand and say, Brother, I love you. Because that's the way Brother James is. He's a child of light, not a child of darkness. But if you get joy out of stomping somebody down, you need to be on this altar this morning. I said, you need to be on this altar. If all you can do is point fingers how bad everybody is, you're probably the one that needs to be on the altar. You're heady and high-minded. You're fierce. You want to take out your judgment, try to help God with His job. Let God take care of what needs to be taken care of, and let us be children of light. Amen. And when we see things go on like happened yesterday, you run into somebody like that, you walk up and say, hey, just want to let you know, praying for you. I don't want your prayers. That's all right. Praying for you anyhow. God loves you and I love you. We're praying for you. Are you ashamed this morning? Are you ashamed to do that? Examine this morning. We need to come out from among the world because we're living in dark times. As children of God, we're going to have to take a stand. Number two. We're going to have to stay out. Not only do we come out, but we're going to have to stay out. In 1 John 2:15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not what? In him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Abideth forever. That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's that security in God that I can go through all this trouble, all this torment, all this dark hour, all this perilous times, because it's all going to pay off one day after a while. It's going to be worth it. We don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin. We welcome the sinner to come in here to Vickers Chapel. I want every sinner, I don't care how wicked and how vile they are, I want them to come to Vickers Chapel. If you know some of them, you say, I know a church that'll welcome you in. On my hair's plumb to my belt, you tell them to come on down. We got a lot of beauticians in this church. We get them saved, get them right with God, and they may make an appointment with one of these ladies. I ain't going to get into all that neither. We want to get them in. It doesn't matter. I want to welcome people. It ain't about wearing a suit. I told you last Sunday, they ain't got to wear a suit to come here. Somebody asked me last week, said my son wanted to come, but he wouldn't come because he was in visiting. All he had was shorts. I told him, I said, you should have told him to come on. Yeah. But I'm glad their son was saved. But he so respected the house of God that he would not come in a pair of shorts. I appreciated that. But he could have come on anyhow. Right. Yeah. I wouldn't have said a word to him. I know some pastors probably met him at the door and said, son, you need to go home and get right and come back. God ain't looking what's on the outside. He's looking at what's on the inside. That's what He's after. And we need to love people. When these people come in, they look out when they need a seat. What do they need to do? You girls need to move over. Move over real quick so I can sit out here amongst you. I want to sit out here. I need a place to sit down. And you need to come and let them sit down right between you like this. And it makes y'all uncomfortable, don't it? Just a little bit. But that's what we need to do. We need to make a place that they can sit down. Then we need to come over here and get amongst all these folks. Sit down right in the middle. How you doing, Sister Kim? And you need to let them sit down right here. And we need to love them and show them the love of Christ. I don't care what they look like. If they got a green mohawk, we need to let them sit down. Amen. And show them the love of God. Why? Because we're children of light. Can I get a witness this morning? Are y'all uncomfortable? But that's what we need to do. We need to welcome them in. You know I'm looking for you. But that's the way God is. He wants to move in His house. And church, we cannot win the world if all we're going to do is judge them and cast them out. We'll never win them that way. Oh, I'd have loved to have seen about 100,000 of them get saved yesterday. But prayer can change things. We can pray for them and ask God to help them and use them. So when we come out of that mess, we need to stay out of that mess as children of God. Don't let it be named among you. Let God use you in a mighty way. Over in Psalms 121, he says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." It's going to take that walk with the Lord and let Him preserve that walk so you can be that beacon of light for those that are living that ill-reputed life, and that they can say, you know what? If they can live for God, maybe I can too. You know, their children are always happy. They're always smiling. They're always being that. There's something different about that person. And I hate to call names this morning, but I've met some of you out in your workplaces and things, and I praise the Lord for Vickers Chapel people. Somebody asked me, "How's your church doing?" I said, "I got the greatest church in the world. I pastor the best people in the world." I said, "You ought to meet some." I did meet some of them. They was very nice, and they invited me to come, and I said, "Praise the Lord." And I've met some of you out on your job site, and you'll be smiling, you're happy. That makes me feel good as a pastor. They ain't nothing worse than go out on a job site, see one of your members sitting out there. What's going on? And their whole life's upside down, and they're so upset. And that's not the way to represent Christ. We got to come out and be the children of God that He's called us to be and stay out of that mess so that God will be honored with our life. Number three. Not only do we need to come out, we need to stay out until He calls us out. Yeah, glory! He's getting ready to call. When you least expect it, He's going to call for His church. Over in Mark chapter 13, verse 8, He says, "For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. And all these are the beginning of sorrow." But in Mark 13, 13, He says, "And ye shall be hated for all men for my name's sake. But they that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." But I like of Matthew 24, 44, listen this morning. He said, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in the hour that ye think not, so cometh the Son of Man." He's coming after the church, those that are ready, those that have come out, those that have stayed out, and those that are getting ready to head out of here. He's coming after a church that's ready, amen. You ought to want to live a life that you can leave out of here really quick. I wouldn't want to live a life that when I turned around, the church was gone and I'm still sitting here. Oh no. What that preacher told us was the truth. What them people told us was the truth. And I'm telling you what, 7 years of the worst hell that's ever happened in this world is going to start. And it's going to be a terrible time for those that will go through that tribulation period. I'm glad in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, that's when the church is called out. We're leaving out of here, and then that's when the terrible time's going to start. The Bible talks about 3.5 years will be peace, and there'll be 3.5 years of hell on earth. It'll be a terrible time for those that are left behind. You don't want to be here when that happens. You want to come out, you want to stay out until He calls us out. Church, I'm trying to help you this morning. The Lord told me to blow the trumpet. The Lord told me to warn you this morning. We need to live holy before God. We need to live today as though it's the last day. Blow that again. We need to, so when the trumpet sounds, that we're ready to leave out of here. I know this ain't the trumpet that's going to sound, but someday the trumpet's going to sound and the whole world's going to hear it and we're going to be out of here. I wonder this morning, are you ready to meet the Lord? Should He come today? Should He come today? As our sis comes to the piano, I wonder this morning, have you lived a life that would honor God? Are you living a life that is displeasing? It's not a sin to fall. It's a sin to stay in that failure and to continue in that and let the devil rob you of your joy. Yes, those that have been born again, he can't do a thing with your salvation. But the devil sure can make your life miserable. As we stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed,